hello, and welcome to episode 4 of the Full Press Colts podcast. I am your host, Jesse Pearson. The music you are hearing is from Nine Inch Nails' newest CD, Ghosts 5 Together. The track is Apart. And I promise this is tied together. I'm not just playing music for the sake of playing music. I want to remind you that you can follow us at Full Press NFL on fullpresscoverage.com or through the FPC app, which is free for Apple and Android devices. As I mentioned, the song is Nine Inch Nails. On their website, nin.com, Nine Inch Nails have dropped 2 albums. Ghosts 5 Together is the one that I'm sampling for you now. There's also Ghosts 6, which is Locusts. If Nine Inch Nails isn't necessarily your thing, at least maybe you can still appreciate that it is a cool thing for a band to be dropping free music as sort of a surprise for their fans, for their listeners, for people who just want a break from reality at this point. Before we hop into football, I really just want to talk a little bit about what's happening in our country, in our world, where you are locally. Maybe you're not as affected, fortunately, but a lot of people are. So in the times that we're living in this quarantine, in this shutdown, in this unusual, unprecedented mystery of a time where nobody really knows what's going to happen next, I want to give a shout out to some of the companies and artists and groups that are stepping up. This is not a political podcast, and my intention is to always keep sports and politics separate in as much as can be done. The two are inextricably linked, and they have been for centuries, going back to the invention of sports, really. But that's not what this podcast is about. This is about the Colts and a few other things mixed in. But my personal political beliefs are going to be left on the sidelines for now. However, I do want to shout out the companies and artists that are stepping up. I think it's important that we support our artists, whether that's musicians, whether that's people who create visual or any other type of medium. A lot of people are binging on Tiger King right now on Netflix. Well, series producers and sound mixers and camera people and editors, there's a whole crew of behind-the-scenes artists that are producing this content for us, and I think right now a lot of us want to be distracted from the reality of what's happening outside of our four walls. So, shout out to those artists, shout out to those production companies, shout out to the musicians. I appreciate Nine Inch Nails music, maybe not everybody does. I like having a little bit of instrumental music going. Some of it's almost ethereal in a way. Again, maybe that's not for you, but I'm sure that there are artists out there that are doing some really cool things, that it's music that you are interested in, that you do want to download, or that you do want to support somehow, because everybody's kind of struggling right now. So if you have the means to support an artist, a local businesses are huge right now. You know, they're the ones that are keeping everybody afloat. So we need to do all that we can to help return the favor. There's really been a lot of cool things happening, and I hate to use that word because this is a terrible circumstance, but the way that people and groups and organizations have responded has really been enlightening in a lot of respects. Even today, the New England Patriots flew their team plane out to China to pick up some masks and other personal protective equipment to fly back to Massachusetts, which, you know, they have the means, they're taking advantage, hats off to them, that's a really cool thing. And a lot of other organizations have done what they can to help people in times of need. You're hearing about companies that are, you know, not charging rent for their tenants, or they're extending payroll even though their workers aren't allowed to come to work right now. You know, things like that just seem like human decency. And unfortunately, that's not the case everywhere. But we do want to extend our gratitude and our appreciation for those groups that are doing so. Teachers, healthcare workers, public sanitation workers, delivery drivers, everybody that is still working right now, and in some cases working overtime. Teachers are having to adjust to this new reality of they don't have their kids in class anymore, but they have to have these lessons prepared to learn remotely, to teach through a webcam, to teach through a computer without the human interaction. Parents, obviously, the unsung heroes that have to pick up a lot of slack that maybe their kids would otherwise have tutoring available to them in schools, or just extra help, whatever the case may be, whereas teachers are now physically inaccessible in a lot of cases. Parents are having to kind of relearn what it means to be in school and go through and help their children and their students succeed. So parents, teachers, healthcare workers, obviously healthcare workers, where would we be without them? I don't even want to think about it. Public sanitation workers. I mean, the trash hasn't stopped. And in a lot of cases, city cleanups have been going on. You know, we need to make sure that everything is as clean, sterile, and sanitary as possible. So public workers are really the backbone of our society, always, but especially right now. And delivery drivers, truck drivers, people that are bringing the supplies that we need, either door-to-door delivery, if you're having food delivered, if you're having supplies, or just bringing the supplies that you need to the companies or the hospitals or wherever. There are a lot of people still at work that deserve our gratitude and our applause. So hats off to them. Okay, rant over. I'm ready to talk a little bit of Colts football. It's been a somewhat slow news week. There's been one signing, and that's TJ Carey, a cornerback. He was drafted by Oakland out of Ohio University. Played a few years there. Most recently has been in Cleveland. He's going to be 29 years old. He's kind of a depth player. He's not going to be a Xavier Rhodes or a Pierre Desir or any of these other signings that have come in with the expectation to start and contribute a lot. He's more of the depth piece. He mentioned in his conference call with local media that he's pretty comfortable playing on the inside, meaning it as sort of a slot nickel corner, which is the position that Kenny Moore plays. That is something that Chris Ballard has talked about wanting to address, that when Kenny Moore gets hurt, as he did a little bit last year, if he misses any time, there's a huge drop-off in the quality of play in the defensive secondary. Kenny Moore is a very good player, and without him, without one of your best players, obviously you're going to suffer a drop-off in production. So TJ Carey is now going to sort of fill that backup nickel role. If he proves up to the challenge, maybe he will get some sub-rotation play. Maybe he ousts Quincy Wilson as the dime corner, meaning when there are six defensive backs on the field. If Carey and Kenny Moore have a pretty good rhythm going as slot corners, you know, maybe that means Quincy Wilson's on the way out, if he wasn't already. It's hard to say what's really happening with Quincy Wilson at this point. But TJ Carey has been the only real personnel move. I believe the team announced that Reese Fountain and Roland Milligan both signed their exclusive rights free agent tenders. That doesn't mean a whole lot other than that they're coming back to the team. They were already sort of guaranteed to do so as exclusive rights free agents. So not a whole lot going on the transaction wire, but TJ Carey, a nice depth piece, something that will kind of provide a little bit of a safety net in case Kenny Moore gets hurt again. Hopefully not. But as we've mentioned in prior episodes, you know, the depth in the defensive secondary now that Pierre Desir is gone, Clayton Gethers is still unsigned, may or may not come back as a backup safety. Kari Willis has taken his starting job. But some of the familiar faces from the secondary we've seen the last few years are not going to be back in Colts blue this year. So TJ Carey is coming aboard. Also released financial details for the Xavier Rhodes contract. It was initially reported as about a $5 million contract. Doesn't look like it's going to be that much, actually. It's going to be a little bit more team-friendly. He has a $3 million base pay. He has a $1 million signing bonus. That's guaranteed. And then about $250,000 in performance-based incentives. So he's going to end up costing the team less than $5 million. So you consider not only what he made last year, which for Minnesota, he was over $10 million. All of it was guaranteed. So a huge drop in pay for him. And this is kind of a prove-it deal to, you know, maybe he can establish himself again as one of the league's better players, better cornerbacks, that he's healthy again, that he's ready to contribute to a championship-caliber defense. But he needs to prove that he's not only healthy, but also still able to play at a high level. So, really team-friendly deal. So hopefully Rhodes is able to earn all of that and prove his worth. And just as a comparison, again, the player that he's replacing, ostensibly, is Pierre Desir, who was due to make about $6 million. So he's not even making that much. So again, when Chris Ballard makes a move, it may not always make sense on the surface, and a lot of fans are going to clamor for this player or that player, or they want this big name or that big name, or Jadeveon Clowney, why hasn't the team signed Jadeveon Clowney? Well, Chris Ballard knows what he's doing, right? I think at this point, it's kind of silly to still be questioned. However, that's the nature of the job, being a general manager of an NFL team. However, he doesn't put his team in financial hardships. He is going to sign team-friendly deals as often as possible. And you know, you can kind of look at the quarterback situation now. They are putting a lot of money into quarterback. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But as far as Xavier Rhodes goes and as far as what they're doing, he still has salary cap room. He's brought on some players that the team believes can contribute. Again, DeForest Buckner, Phillip Rivers, Xavier Rhodes, now TJ Carey. They're bringing players in that can not only contribute, but also are not going to break the bank. And that's an important piece of the puzzle that Chris Ballard really doesn't often get enough credit for. He is not signing these huge deals that then lead to a lot of dead money down the road. If you cut a player, if you just don't get what you're expecting out of a player, there's not a lot left in guaranteed money. He's leaving room under the salary cap, and he's putting in a lot of pieces at relatively inexpensive deals. So kudos once again to Chris Ballard. We're going to step away for a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to discuss a little bit more of what has happened in Colts Nation the last week or two. We'll be back. Just stay tuned. And we are back. Thank you for returning with us on the Full Press Colts podcast. As I mentioned before the break, there was another happening in Colts Nation this week, and that was the return, so to speak, of Frank Reich. He held a teleconference with local sports writers. This was the first time that he'd really had any media availability since the combine back in February, so there were some moves that needed to be addressed, some questions that needed to be answered, that sort of thing. A lot of it was sort of your standard boilerplate. You know, he talked about the DeForest Buckner trade, that he was on board with it, that it's an exciting thing to bring on a player of that caliber. Echoed that sentiment with Phillip Rivers, that it's a unique opportunity, that he's a really talented player that's going to help the team win. You know, that's basic coach speak whenever they bring in a new player, make a new move. This is what the coach is going to say, unless it's Bill Parcells complaining about not being able to cook the dinner and buy the groceries, you know what I mean? So really not a whole lot. There was a couple things that stood out, one of which was that he said that the team looked at 2 years of Tom Brady as opposed to Phillip Rivers, looking at, you know, who was going to be a better fit. They looked at the two most recent years of Brady and Rivers and decided that Rivers was going to be the better fit from a physical standpoint, from just what he's able to contribute to the team. You know, who knows the truth of that? Who knows if there was interest in Brady? Who knows if there was interest on Brady's side in Indianapolis, or if it was just a lot of smoke screens and, you know, the waiting game, and a lot of agents like to put this little nugget of information out there, or this player has been in contact with 5 or 6 different teams just to drive up value. It's all standard operating procedure at this time of year. But a somewhat interesting note that they said they compared Rivers and Brady, decided that Rivers was the better fit. I think the most obvious connection there is, again, that Rivers has played in this system. He played for Frank Reich as offensive coordinator a few years ago. He knows Nick Sirianni, the current Colts offensive coordinator. So there's familiarity. They said he knows 80 to 85% of the offense was the number that they used. So in the absence of OTAs, which, judging how everything's happening right now, there's probably going to, at least, at the very least, be a modified offseason schedule. So having a quarterback that already knows the offense you're going to be running, or already knows the bulk of the offense you're going to be running, that helps things out. So aside from Rivers and Brady, the other big newsworthy piece of information that came out of this call was Frank Reich saying that Jacoby Brissett was still in the team's plans at quarterback, and that they were looking at using him maybe 5 to 7 plays a game, as he sits behind Rivers, you know, bringing him in off the bench for 5 to 7 plays a game. And Frank Reich specifically mentioned RPOs. Those are the, if you're unfamiliar, run-pass options. So the
offensive line and the running backs are going to execute a running play. The receivers are going to run a pass route. It's up to the quarterback to determine, based on what the defense does, whether he's going to hand the ball to the running back or throw to his receivers. So I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a strength of Jacoby's game. I think if it was, we would have seen more of it last season. So an interesting kind of piece of information. Personally, I believe the team has no plans for Jacoby Brissett. If they did, they wouldn't have spent $25 million on Phillip Rivers. But, again, coach speak and driving up value, as is the nature of the beast this time of year, they have to say that they're going to keep him. They have to say that they have plans for him. Because if they try to trade him right now, his value is basically zero. No self-respecting organization is going to trade for Jacoby Brissett, because they're just playing a waiting game. They're playing a game of chicken with the Colts right now, thinking at some point the Colts are just going to cut Brissett loose. So why trade any draft picks or players or anything like that when you can just get him on your own, you know, by waiting this out? So by Frank Reich saying, yes, we still have plans for Jacoby Brissett. We're going to play him 5 to 7 snaps a game. He's going to run these RPOs for us. A, it's just trying to maintain some trade value for him. B, again, what else do you expect him to say? Yeah, we're not going to play Jacoby, but we're handcuffed with his contract, so here we are. You know, he's not going to say that. And C, by throwing out the potential seed of an RPO game in their offense, he's giving defensive coordinators that are going to face the Colts next year something to think about. If, you know, oh, maybe we have to have a little bit of a game plan for this. That's much farther down the line, but I wouldn't put any stock in what he says at all, okay? And not to say that Frank Reich is not a trustworthy person. I believe that he is, but he kind of has to say what he said. The specifics of it are a little bit more intriguing, but again, I'm not putting any weight in that. I think that that is just to maintain some sort of trade value for Jacoby Brissett. I still think that in the second or third round, maybe later, probably in the second or third round, though, you're going to see the Colts draft a quarterback whom they intend to groom for a year or two behind Phillip Rivers, and then they're going to cut bait with Brissett, either through a trade or just an out-and-out release. Speaking of the draft, the Full Press Coverage NFL writers and editors did a first-round mock draft this week. Picks 1 through 16 have been released today. I'm recording this on Thursday afternoon. Picks 17 through 32 have not yet been posted. They may be by the time this episode drops, but head over to the FPC app or fullpresscovers.com or at FullPressNFL on Twitter to check those out. We had a lot of fun putting those together. The Colts, as we know, do not have a first-round pick. However, I was able to contribute for a few different teams that don't have editors right now, so I was still able to stay involved. It's always fun to just kind of go through these thought experiments and say, okay, well, everybody thinks the draft is going to go XYZ, and more often than not, you're seeing at the top three anyway, Burrow, Chase Young, Jeff Okuda. Well, if it doesn't shake out like that, what are the other dominoes to fall? You know, what is this team going to do if their quarterback's not available anymore? Or what is this team going to do that maybe needs a linebacker, but all the linebackers are gone? You know, stuff like that. It's fun. Give it a read. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you would have done if you disagree. Head on over to Full Press Coverage to check that out. We're going to take one more short commercial break. I'm going to come back, kind of wrap things up. We're going to have another little fun piece to finish things up. Hang around for us, okay? All right, we are back. I mentioned the quarantine and the state of the nation earlier in the episode, so I want to double back a little bit and talk about some of the byproducts of this quarantine, of this lockdown, this stay-at-home order. Obviously, the end goal for all of this is that by staying home, we're reducing exposure. We're minimizing the effect of spreading this virus and not exposing people with immunocompromised systems or people that maybe wouldn't be able to recover from such a virus. We don't want to expose them to anything. So by staying home, we're staying safe. However, if you're anything like me, you've probably also gained some weight. Over the last few months, I had actually lost somewhere between 25 and 30 pounds. I would say about 5 of that has now come back just because I'm inside snacking as long as I'm awake, I am not far from the kitchen, and I am just packing that weight right back on. If you are like any of my Facebook friends, you have probably found a ton of those goofy little surveys to complete. You know, what does your spouse know about you? What do your friends know about you? What can you remember about your senior year in high school? Blah, blah, blah. Most of them I just scroll right past. However, the other day I did find one that I just couldn't get over, and I'm going to share it here with you. I know, if you're done listening at this point, once I started talking about Facebook surveys, I wouldn't blame you. However, this is somewhat fun, and I think if you really give some thought to it, maybe you could have some fun thinking of your own answers. So, the object is to think of your favorite all-time NFL player from each team. I have always been a Colts fan. However, I have some respect for what other organizations have done. In addition to working here at Full Press Coverage, I also coach high school football. And as such, I've kind of looked up to some different coaches along the years that have done things a certain way. My personal coaching idol is Bill Walsh, the late, great, former 49ers head coach. So those 80s Niners teams are really something that I hold on a very high pedestal. And that might explain some of the names you're going to hear later on. But as we go through, just keep in mind, this is all for fun. And if you want to think of your own responses and shoot them over to me on Twitter at Jesse T. Pearson or on our team page at FPC_Colts, I think it would be fun to kind of share some of these. Of course, on Twitter, we're limited to 280 characters, and that's not the case on Facebook, so we can get to be a little more verbose. All right, here we go. Division by division, we're going to start in the NFC North. My favorite Viking of all time, running back Robert Smith, former Ohio State Buckeye. Sort of an understated player, had a pretty decent career for 8 years. Hung him up somewhat early. He was 28 when he retired. Really, as the Chris Carter and Randy Moss show was starting to pick up, Robert Smith was an important piece of that, but then he stepped aside after just a year or two there, retiring in 2000. Anyway, he is my favorite all-time Minnesota Viking. Chicago Bears next. This one might ruffle some feathers. Punter Brad Maynard. Why Maynard? Why a punter? Well, he went to Ball State University, which is my alma mater. Go Cards, go Maynard. Also, the Bears kind of suck as a Colts fan, so don't worry about that one. My favorite Detroit Lion of all time, defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. 2009 Suh at Nebraska was the most impressive defensive season I've ever seen by a college football player. He was unblockable. He led his team in tackles and sacks and tackles for loss and, you know, probably could have led the team in interceptions too. That Suh was unstoppable in 2009. So early on in Detroit, I really wanted him to just break the mold of what a defensive tackle could be. He hasn't necessarily lived up to that. He's had a great career. He's still going, and he's, I think, back in Tampa Bay. Potentially now with Tom Brady as quarterback and Bruce Arians as head coach, could maybe get a Super Bowl ring. We'll see what happens, but always been a big fan of Ndamukong Suh. I love his game. My favorite Green Bay Packer, current quarterback Aaron Rodgers, such a talented football player, really fun to watch, the master of improv, really strong arm, really quick release, never seems to be in a bad position. Really fun to watch Aaron Rodgers play. I got a lot of respect for him. Moving to the NFC South, my favorite New Orleans Saints player. After the Colts lost to the Saints in the Super Bowl, it's hard to pick anybody, even you know, being from Indiana. I'm not necessarily a Purdue fan, but you know, a lot of people like Drew Brees. Drew Brees seems to be an all-around good person, good human, great football player. But I'm going with Will Smith, former defensive end, former Ohio State Buckeye. You might notice that I seem to be a bit of an Ohio State fan. I am. Will Smith was unfortunately passed away in 2016, so may he rest in peace. Was a really good player for a long time. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, mentioned them earlier. Tom Brady is not my favorite Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Mike Allstott is. Loved the way he ran. Also really like fullbacks, and I wish that there were more fullbacks in the game still. But to have a throwback like Mike Allstott, he is definitely my favorite Buck of all time. Carolina Panthers, going with Jordan Gross here, going with the left tackle out of Utah. Had a nice career, was a former first-round pick. I am a former offensive lineman, so my eye always kind of steers toward the trenches and what happens on the offensive and defensive lines. think, you know, Cam Newton is a hell of a football player, and I hope he's able to land somewhere where he can play this year. I think football is better with Cam Newton playing, so shout out to Cam. But he is not my favorite Panther of all time. That would be Jordan Gross. Favorite Falcon, Atlanta Falcon, Jamal Anderson, the Dirty Bird. You know, the Falcons have never really done anything for me. I don't dislike them, but I'm just kind of indifferent. You know, there aren't a ton of names, and I'm like, wow, yeah, this is a, Julio Jones is really good, and I respect his game. And, you know, Matt Ryan, same thing, good ball player, respect his game. But I don't know. I don't really care about Atlanta. So Jamal Anderson, the Dirty Bird, who since his playing days has had a string of arrests to his name, so he can hopefully get things turned around again and staying out of trouble. But we are moving to the NFC East. My favorite New York Giant, Michael Strahan, again, former lineman, so I appreciate the beauty of line play on both sides of the ball. Strahan's sack record is something that is probably going to fall at some point, but pretty cool for him to have 22 and a half sacks in only 16 games. My favorite Dallas Cowboy, Marion Barber, running back from Minnesota. Really physical runner. Never really did much in the way of, you know, playoffs and championships, anything like that. Obviously, he was just kind of a guy for a while, but I really enjoyed watching him run. He ran hard. He ran physical. He had a mean stiff arm and refused to go down on first contact a lot of times. So Marion Barber gets the nod for me in Dallas. Washington Redskins, we're looking at Darryl Green. One of the fastest players in NFL history, ran a 4.2 something 40 at the combine way back when things weren't laser time, so it may have been a little faster than what scouts were getting on their stopwatches. But then he also played for 20 years, so he wasn't just a fast guy. He had incredible durability. So Darryl Green gets the nod in Washington. The Eagles, I have three. I have John Runyon, Brian Dawkins, and Donovan McNabb. Going back to the early 2000s, those Eagles were fun. John Runyon, the big, nasty offensive lineman, wore number 69 because, of course, he did. Had the hairy arms sticking out of the jersey, you know, the undersized kid pads from the looks of it. Just a big, nasty dude. Always sort of late to the pile. You know, the whistle hasn't yet blown, but there's somebody standing around. Runyon's going to go give him a little chip. And now his son, coming out of the University of Michigan, is a prospect to be drafted this year. So a cool legacy there. Brian Dawkins, one of the most entertaining entrances. You know, you can all picture the dance that he did, right? The crawl, the creature, the Weapon X. Brian Dawkins was a fun player with the visor and everything. And then Donovan McNabb, I always appreciated what he was able to do. Had a lot of success there for a long time with Andy Reid. They could never bring home the big one, but McNabb was a good player for a long time. Moving out west to the NFC West, San Francisco 49ers, as I mentioned, I really like those old 80s Niners teams from Bill Walsh and what he did organizationally, offensively. So Roger Craig, really versatile running back, 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving, a pretty eye-popping number even in today's game. Roger Craig was somewhat ahead of his time, but a perfect fit in that Bill Walsh West Coast offense. And Ronnie Lott, physical football player, you know, just knocking people around from sideline to sideline. They don't really make them like that anymore. Also, they wouldn't allow plays like that to happen anymore. The game is officiated a little bit differently now than it was back in Ronnie Lott's time, but you've got to love what he was able to do. My favorite Ram, running back Steven Jackson. Again, I like big physical running backs. Jackson was good. Jackson had speed that kind of belied the size that he brought to the table as well. The former Oregon State Beaver. Good football player. You know, one of those guys that you kind of wish the best for, but never really did a whole lot as far as championship contention. So we're looking at Steven Jackson there. Seahawks, fullback Mac Strong. That's the best name that any fullback could ever have. By the way, Mac Strong, perfect name for a fullback, also a good football player. And Richard Sherman, got a little tie there. Like Sherman's game, like Sherman's nastiness, like Sherman's talkative nature, but I also like Sherman's intelligence. And you know, he may rile you up if you don't root for the teams that he plays for, but he always has a reason for behaving the way that he does. And he's an intelligent guy, and he doesn't just talk the trash. He also backs it up. I really like Richard Sherman. For the Cardinals, I'm looking at Aeneas Williams, another long-time durable defensive back, was able to play corner at a really high level for a really long time, eventually signed with the Rams and then moved from corner to safety, so versatility and durability. Appreciate Aeneas Williams and his game. For the Colts, we're now in the AFC. We're starting in the AFC South. My favorite Colt was Dallas Clark. Dallas was sort of the glue that held the offense together for a while. Really productive player. 2009, he had 100 catches, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. That doesn't happen often. Good football player. Injuries kind of took him out of his stride there late in the career. Wish he could have held on for a little longer, but I always liked Dallas, and I'm glad to hear that he's doing well. I believe farming somewhere in the Midwest. So, hey, Dallas, hope you're well, my friend. The Jacksonville Jaguars. John Henderson, giant defensive tackle from the University of Tennessee. There was that great mid-2000s rivalry in Jacksonville and Indianapolis when the Colts were all built on speed and they had the undersized defense that flew around. They had the receivers that were always open, and then Jacksonville's just this huge, lumbering giant of a team. They have this big physical defensive line in Henderson and Marcus Stroud. They have the running game with Fred Jackson and Maurice Jones-Drew. They had Byron Leftwich. They had David Garrard. They just gave the Colts trouble for a while. It was a fun rivalry to witness and be a part of as a fan. My favorite Houston Texan, J.J. Watt. Love his game. Love his humanitarian nature. Love his work ethic. Solid all-around human being. Great football player. Titans Oilers. I'm looking at Bruce Matthews, longtime guard. Great offensive lineman, and in the great Matthews football family, as well as Eddie George, another running back, another former Buckeye. What can I say? I'm a bit of a homer there. I'm a bit of a fan. Favorite Pittsburgh Steeler? Going with Antoine Randle. My sister is an Indiana University alumnus, so I go with the former Hoosier there. Otherwise, it's pretty hard to say there are any Steelers that I like after the challenges that they have brought to Indianapolis over the years. Baltimore Ravens, I'm looking at Jonathan Ogden, again, another offensive lineman, 6'9", great athlete, great football player, liked watching him go to work at left tackle. Same in Cleveland with Joe Thomas, another Hall of Fame type of player who just recently retired. The Browns have struggled to find his replacement, but he was really, really good, former first rounder out of Wisconsin. My favorite Bengal, this one gave me a challenge. And I hate to dump on Bengals fans, but, like, there haven't been that many good Bengals players or Bengals teams for a while. You know, Chad Ochocinco never did anything for me. Carson Palmer was fine, but, you know. So I'm going with David Pollack. He was only there for a little over a year. Obviously suffered a nasty injury in his second season. But I loved David Pollack's game at Georgia. Really disappointing that he wasn't able to sustain a professional career. Really great to see him have landed on his feet now at ESPN. He does a great job with their college football coverage. But my favorite former Bengal, David Pollack. New England Patriots, going with Logan Mankins and Adelius Thomas, two guys that were kind of around during that same run-up when the Colts and the Patriots had that big rivalry in the mid-2000s. Mankins, an offensive lineman from Fresno State. Adelius Thomas was sort of a do-everything, played a little linebacker, played a little defensive back. I think at one point he was listed on the depth chart at three different positions, which doesn't really happen too terribly often, maybe outside of New England where Bill Belichick just mixes and matches guys like crazy. So appreciate those two former players in New England. New York Jets, I like Wayne Corbett. I liked his game. I'm not a big big fan of wide receivers, as you might have noticed from this list, but yeah, Corbett and Randall L. are the only two that I recognize here. My favorite former Miami Dolphin, linebacker Zach Thomas, undersized guy, not the best athlete in the world, but carved out an incredible career for himself just because he was so tough and prepared so consistently well. He was always in a position to make a play on the ball. Zach Thomas, a really good football player out of Texas Tech. Buffalo Bills, I'm going with Bruce Smith. How can you not? You know, those early 90s Bills, late 80s, early 90s, the Bills had a ton of talent back then. With a nod toward the Lions, I'm going with Bruce Smith over a Jim Kelly or Thurman Thomas, perhaps. Bruce Smith gets the nod there. Kansas City Chiefs, Tony Gonzalez, arguably the best tight end ever. How can you not go with Tony Gonzalez there? Denver Broncos going with Steve Atwater, another physical, hard-hitting defensive back that maybe wouldn't be able to survive in today's game because of the way it's officiated, but really liked the physicality that he brought to the board. Raiders, I'm going with Nnamdi Asamoah. The Raiders were another kind of tough one, sort of like Cincinnati, where, you know, the last 20 years or so, really, since I've been watching football seriously, they haven't had a ton of guys that really just jump off the screen. Nnamdi Asamoah's career fell off a cliff hard, but during his time in Oakland was a really consistent, really productive football player, good defensive back out of the University of California, going with Nnamdi Asamoah. And lastly, the Chargers, now in L.A., formerly of San Diego, another fullback, Lorenzo Neal. Lorenzo Neal paved the way for 1,000-yard rushers year after year after year. A lot of those were LaDainian Tomlinson, but Lorenzo Neal, a really good physical fullback. And there you have it, my 32-plus favorite players from every NFL team. I'd love to hear your lists. Hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up on Facebook. I'll give you a little plug. Jesse Pearson, Mediocre Writer, is my Facebook page. I share all of my FPC things there, as well as dabbling every once in a while in a little bit of other projects that I may be involved in. So if you like the articles that I've written, if you like the podcast that I'm putting out, a little shameless self-promotion, go ahead and follow me on Jesse Pearson, Mediocre Writer, on Facebook as well. We are also looking for other writers to join the team at Full Press Coverage for the Colts. Right now it's me and Mason Ford. We would love to hear some other more diverse voices. The more minds we can get going here, the smarter we're all going to sound. So if you are interested, there is a link that you can hit on Full Press Coverage. When you open our articles, you're going to get a little pop-up screen that will take you to our employment page if you want to join the team as a Colts writer. If you don't really care for the Colts, I'm sorry to have wasted the last 35 minutes of your time, but you can also write for our other teams. We're also looking for managing editors for a few other teams as well. So if you want to join us at FPC, feel free to hit us up there. As always, thank you for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to send them my way. Make sure that you're following us on Twitter, on the internet browsers. Make sure you've got the app downloaded. Any questions, any comments, any concerns, feel free to send them my way. Let me know your favorite players. I'd love to see the lists and kind of have a laugh at some of the names that have gone by that we have sort of forgotten in the past. But for now, this is Jesse Pearson signing off.